This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So excited to be here.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't crossed the Pennines for a while, still as beautiful as ever. We came across this morning. The mist was just hovering over the land. Just a beautiful, beautiful sight. And yeah, we got to feast over the road at Cafe Latte and met a Palestinian friend. We got to practice one of my three words of Arabic, which went down well. But thank you, David Nelson, for inviting us. It's so good to be here, and thank you for the worship. So great. So. Yeah, thank you again, and just even, you know, taking the communion, just to see a warm, smiley face giving out the bread and wine, it just makes a difference. And when you get a tea and coffee outside, and thank you to you guys, just when it's cold, and you're like, who wants to be outside serving? And good coffee too, good coffee. I mean, like if nothing else, it was worth it for the trip, it was worth it for the coffee. And good to see some faces that we know from the past. Thank you for your warm welcome. I just want to say like a quick greeting from Liverpool. The Dean, some of you know Andy and Anna Dean. No. So I looked on your website, and they're still on there. They have aged a wee bit. They have a few more wrinkles, and maybe more kids. I didn't really know them then, but they do send their love. And they are about to engage as foster parents, which apparently that happened here. You had some ministry here, and they responded to that call. And in, I think, January, it's not been an easy ride, but I think they're just about to be signed off and start receiving their first kids. So that's great. When I left them recently, he was busy painting his wall green prior to the shells going up. So it was about 11 p.m. I'll leave you to it. Sue's going to just share a few things. I want to just outline a little bit about what I think God has for us this morning. I was just so excited. There was a guy, I don't know if you heard of his name, George Fox. He was kind of started the Quaker movement, and he used to just get away to somewhere where there was nobody and try and hear what God was saying. And yesterday, I can't say I got away, kind of away anywhere, but I was in my room. So I don't know if you ever do this. If you've got a full-size duvet, you kind of, I didn't get under the duvet. I kind of sausage rolled myself. So I was in the duvet, covered, just lying there. You need to know this. Just waiting. What are you saying regarding Leeds Vineyard? And it just downloaded some stuff. Just excited to share with you some of that stuff, particularly in ministry that he has been saying. I want to say this. So who's a mom or a dad? Okay, so I guess you've pretty much all been to the school playground, and you know it's about half three or so, and you're waiting for the kids to come out. Remember that scene? If you're a bit older now, it's a few years ago. When the kids come out, I'm always fascinated. You know, they come out, they're talking, they're rambunctious, they're playing, but they've got one thing on the mind. Where is my mum or my dad? There's a singular focus, and they scan. Maybe mum always stands in the same place, and they scan the playground, and they're honed in on that one thing. And that is kind of like, in a sense, part of the essence about what I want to share with you this morning. We've been going through some stuff in Liverpool Vineyard, and it felt right just to share with you a little bit of that journey about some of the distractions that we face. Distractions that, I guess, stop us coming in to the presence of God, stop us forming those habits that are healthy and that fill us and that inspire us. I want to share a little bit about that. And there's a book in the New Testament that talks a little bit about that. And Solomon is put in the phrase of little foxes. Have you heard that phrase, the little foxes that wrecked the vineyard? Anyone heard of that phrase? Well, if you haven't, I'll introduce you to it. It sounds like many of you haven't, so we'll come to that. But just get into a place where we're just experiencing what it's like to dwell in his presence more often and experiencing what that does for us. And then we're going to do some ministry. So that's what's kind of on the menu today. Sue is going to share a little bit about our experience. And we had, David may have got a phone call this morning. Do you know these people, Andy and Sue Larkin? They say the Vineyard pastors. We managed to drive up a one-way street in Leeds. It's my nemesis. Normally, I've got a good sense of direction, but I don't know what it was. We sat nav. It was like she was talking away to me, you know. It was all going good. It was going well, and then don't know what happened. And we ended up somewhere in the city centre going up a one-way street. And just at hand, there was a community policeman, just right there when you need them, you know. I thought, oh, this could be interesting. He was very gracious. So he pointed us in the right direction, and Sue put a foot on the gas. But distractions.
I'm absolutely, totally distracted now. But as you know, I am Andy's distraction, so just concentrate, but not on me. We have been going through all this stuff, and what I wanted to share with you was a scripture from the Song of Songs, and it's about the lovers. So polish up, you scrub out your ears and open up your hearts, and you know, Jesus takes the blindness away from us, doesn't he, when we get saved. So we'll have a bit more of that, please, Lord Jesus. I'm like Andy, I'm really, really excited to be here. I just loved the worship. So again, thank you so much for that. It's so refreshing. And it was so, I mean, every one of those words is just the truth, isn't it? He is the Lion of Judah. He is the one that goes before us. And he is the one that goes behind us, beside us, underneath us. We are not only surrounded by the angelic, but also we carry the light of Jesus Christ inside of us. And sometimes we get so dull. And that's what I'm going to talk about. So there were these two gorgeous people, Solomon and his bride, and they were lovers. And basically, I haven't put my timer on 7 minutes to say all this. but basically, they'd come together and they were so enraptured with one another. And they had all these wonderful words that they were saying to each other. And right in the middle of it, it comes across, some one of them says, we were looking up this, it could be the chorus because there's a chorus of people, but it's the he. So he says, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. And that's Song of Songs 2:15. Now, it might sound really random, but those foxes are the ones that come and nibble at all the good stuff that's going on in your life and distract us away from the things that Jesus is calling us to. God's voice is a still, small voice. And often the distractions are very shiny, very loud, and continuous. And it can be good things. The Lord told me very young, when I was a very young Christian, don't even the good things in your life can be, they need to go on the altar. It all needs to go on the altar because they can distract you from that place of staying in his presence. Now, this verse has been such a powerful verse in our community because we relate to it so well. I mean, it was distracting before, but now, I mean, back in the day, there were no mobile phones. I'm really ancient now. I realize that. But the thing is, there are so many distractions that will take you on a journey round the mountain, along the country lanes. They'll take you into places where you don't need to go, where there's a path that we've been called to, which is narrow. We're not called to a big, broad path. The Bible clearly speaks that the broad path is the way to destruction, but there is a narrow, narrow path that we've been called to walk in. Now, when I say that, I think, oh, flipping heck, that's not so hot. But actually, we have had our eyes opened. If you know Jesus Christ here today, you know that that narrow path is the joyful place. You know that that's the line that you go in with Christ. And if you're not on that and on your broad, broad path, all those sparkly distractions will take you on another journey, which ends up in a not a good place. The Bible clearly says it leads to destruction. So it's kind of like we've come today to really perhaps give ourselves and ourselves as well a kind of checkup in where we are on that path. And where we are in that place with these little foxes. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain, and so remain, dwell, because Andy's going to be talking about dwelling, in me, and I in them, they will produce much fruit. And then he goes on to say, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I know that. I'm sure we all know this. I know this. It's really, really, it's interesting because life is full of challenge, obviously. Life is full of joy. Life is life. But on our journey, we can become extremely tired, weary. We can come to a place where we're like, oh, I just need to do. And I'll just leave my time with the Lord on the back burner. Now, the Lord is like, oh, okay. He's not crazy about that, but he's not going to cast us off. He's just waiting with that still small voice to come and claim us again and say, come on. So I'd like to ask you at this point, what are your distractions? So what are the things that you seriously find massively distracting? I find sometimes the TV distracting. I find the work of, it sounds weird this, but sometimes I find good works distracting. I say that because if I'm finding good works distracting, that means, you can always tell with me, that means that I'm doing it in my own strength. That means that I'm not entering into the quiet place of dwelling with my Saviour and having my time and my coffee and my songs with my friend Jesus, because he is going to give me the energy that inspires me to do the things that I am naturally called to. If I don't have that, you might as well. It's like a stone weight on your head. It really is. It crushes you down. You need Jesus. You need that presence with Jesus. But right, I'm opening it up now like a game show host. So actually, I could come floating around, couldn't I, with this microphone? But please tell me, who gets distracted? I know Andy does because I'm standing here. So go on then. So what's your distraction? Would you care to reveal? Does anybody see that distraction? Is it? It doesn't have to be too deep, but what do you find? Yeah, I find that quite distracting as well. Anything else apart from phones, or is that just the general? Work, yeah. And you need to work. You need your phone. You need time out. You need all these amazing, you need all this in your life. But the thing is, you need Christ more so. And he does. Like in years ago, we used to say, I don't know whether people still say this, but you need to put Jesus on the throne of your life. He needs to be the captain of your heart. And then I used to wonder about that when I was a young Christian. But then they'd say, you'd know when you'd kicked Jesus off and you'd put your mobile phone there, or you've put yourself there. And we have to keep getting off that throne and putting Jesus. So I'm going to pass you on to Andy right now. to speak about dwelling in his presence. And we are going to do ministry because I think many of us get distracted and he goes out of the thought process in all of life. And he will give you back more and more than you can ever contain, because that's what his word says, as you spend time with him.
Yeah, and I'd definitely say this will never be coming from a place of, we don't experience this. I probably have an honorary degree in being distracted, so it's phones, work. There are so many things that will take us away from the most important, from the kid running out and looking for mom, that singular thing, the most important thing. And if you're honest and you do a survey, you'll know what they are. And it's interesting, at the end of the Song of Solomon, the last thing that the author says, that now the bride is saying to her husband, come away with me. She wants relationship. There were things at the beginning that were getting in the way, potentially, the little foxes. Now she's saying, come away. Work on that relationship. What kind of homes do we like to dwell in? You know, if you think about where you live, we as Brits spend millions and millions of pounds on DIY, don't we? You know? Have you spent some money in the last year on your house? Come on. See what this says. Yeah. Extensions, yeah. I know in Leeds, swimming pools, you know, that kind of stuff. Anyone got a pool? No? Okay. I was going to invite myself, but you get the feeling, yeah? And, you know, we start to ask ourselves the question, what kind of house would God like to dwell in? There's a scarier option, you know. Would he like your DIY? Oh, I can't go near there. I've been told. I've been warned. It's got a dodgy wire. What kind of place does the Lord like to dwell in? So we started to ask that question, and so if you've seen the film Angela's Ashes. Have you seen the film Angela's Ashes? It's an old film, but it paints an abject picture of misery. It's like a really poor home somewhere in the south of Ireland where my own ancestors are from, and there's rain in the bottom, there's floods, the bottom floor's always flooded, and it's abject poverty. It's such a miserable place. And I thought, well, I wouldn't want to live there. And there's some things, isn't there, that God looks for where he would like to dwell, and we'll kind of touch on a few of those. I just want to read to you, I love this guy. If you haven't come across him before, Henri Nouwen. He's passed away now, a Dutch theologian, Catholic priest. And he finished his days in a center called Daybreak, where he was part of a team that cared for severely mentally disabled people. And this is some stuff regarding Henri Nouwen. Home, of course, is an actual place, but it's also an inner sanctuary. Now I prefer the translation of John 15:4 as thus, make your home in me as I make mine in you. We all need a home, a place to call our own, a place where we can be ourselves, where we have no need to wear masks. Such places can be destroyed by war, tornadoes, fire and hurricanes, but there's an unshakable home within us, that sacred place where Christ abides. He is present within every moment of our lives. In a second of attention, we need only turn our mind gently to find him. He's there for us. Whenever we wish, we can commune with him. As Nouwen would say, he is the first love and our eternal home. A sacred place. You know, the temple that Solomon built, there was one room that only one person, a guy, the high priest could go once a year. It was called the Holy of Holies. So I just did a little bit of research on that. It was only 30 feet by 30 feet, so kind of like a very small place. And it's where he went once a year to offer sins for himself and the whole nation. It's called the Holy of Holies. It was like the place. The Ark of the Covenant was in there. You see in the film. It was all in there. Really important room. But it was covered in gold. So someone geekier than me tried to figure out how much all that was worth, because in Chronicles it tells you kind of how much gold is there, but 20 tons of the stuff. So we did some maths and worked out per ounce what that would be. It's like 500 million. So you tend to think of like, what? It's like, there was like gold everywhere. It was like bling, serious bling. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because in a sense, God's never been that bothered about human temples built by human hands. But there is a place, and we're going to look at this transition from that tent in the wilderness where the Israelites came from Egypt. That was a special place. But then when Solomon built this place, there was like a lot of expense, you know, going out for that property. But now, where is he now? He's in our heart. That it's changed. The temple's now on the inside. So we're going to have a little look at that. I need to hurry up because we don't have loads of time. But just a little description on dwell. It means to sit down, to abide, to inhabit, to remain, or to settle down. And that settle down is referring to his divine presence. It's finding that time, that place. And it isn't necessarily hours and hours. Do you ever find that, as Nouwen said, that I call it micro-dwelling. You know those times in the day when you just turn. So you might be driving the car. You might be burning your bacon in the morning, dipping your tie in the coffee. Just those little times at work that you get. It's those little calls. Come away with me. Whatever you're doing, there's an opportunity to speak in tongues, just to listen to his voice and to practice his presence. A paraphrase from an old commentary regarding dwelling says this: the vine, I love this, the vine imparts the juices and allows a constant circulation of sap, which facilitates our growth and fruitfulness. The circulation of the good stuff. Where do we find that? We find it in the vine. What does Psalm 1 say? He who meditates on God's law, yeah, day and night, they're like trees planted by streams of water along the riverbank, and it's continually bearing fruit. And those trees weren't just randomly there. Those streams were irrigation ditches dug out from the river, and they were placed there strategically. That sense of meditating, knowing, thinking of a scripture that maybe God's speaking to you about, and just playing it over, chewing it over, getting it inside you. Paul prayed this for the Ephesians. I love this scripture. Check out this move. Now, what's happening? Where is the Holy Spirit dwelling? Where is the Lord Jesus coming to abide, to dwell? I think it's on the screen. Paul prayed for the Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So where's the Holy Spirit here? In that inner being, in that place, synonymous with that Jesus dwelling in our hearts. So he's not in that stone temple anymore. He's moved venues, he's moved, he's shifted, he's dwelling somewhere different. There's a movement. Father, just call us. Create that thirst, the hunger, yeah, the passion. To find you in the green pastures, by the still waters. That we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm just going to move into a little bit of ministry. I want to share with you some pictures I think that the Lord gave us. I'd be at the front of any queue for prayer when it comes to responding to distractions and stuff. And as Sue said, wonderfully said, those little foxes, they kind of decimate the vines, don't they? The vines that were blossoming, before the grape comes, it blossoms. And I guess that's wrecking the potential for fruit. And those little things in our lives can absolutely get in the way. And there's, for me, I don't know, there's a choice there. There's bringing the Lord totally into that and saying, I am struggling with this. I've got to make some better choices. Help me. It's like, oh God, Christ in me, come and work and move me in that way. And as Solomon's wife said then, come away with me, that responding to the call of the Lord. You know that little voice that says, just come and spend some time with me. And both of these things have a clear connection to ministry. And I love this, you know, on your flyer, light in the darkness. Just God was just really underlining regarding this church, your brightness. I didn't know there was the word luminosity. Apparently it's to do with celestial beings, but your brightness. And I think really clear what he was saying is that it's kind of proportionate. The more time you spend in his presence, the brighter you will be. And it was like, even, do you use the Bible app? Even the Bible app for yesterday has something to do with being in the light. And here it is on your stuff as creation. God's, you know, just the whole thing about you as a community being light. Read that. So here's what I saw when I was sausage rolled in my duvet, trying to hear God for you guys. I saw it was a beautiful, beautiful picture. So it was like really, really, really clear. So you can imagine a big crown. It was a beautiful crown with jewels all around it. Beautiful jewels. And you guys were in the middle of this crown, okay? Not on the outside, you were in the middle of it, okay? But so if you can imagine the circle that the crown is, in the middle of the crown, that's where it was, it was full, it was packed. And the only place there was a space, I hope I'm describing this well, was you were still inside the inner perimeter, as it were, of the crown. The only anywhere where there was a space was there, right on the edge, nearest to the outside of where the crown actually would stop. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you're in the middle, but all the way around the outside, there's a gap. And the people, particularly the people on the outside, were full of joy. And they were holding out their hands, reaching out to people, calling people in, almost like pulling people in. And for me, that crown was just symbolized the kingdom. You are actively, from a place of joy, calling people in to experience the good stuff that you've experienced. And it was just slowly rotating. It was going around like that. And you could see all these jewels, beautiful jewels. And it was like there was someone there. There was something there for everyone. There was no one left out. And then I heard this scripture. You'll be familiar with it. Those who have no money come and buy. You know scripture from Isaiah 55? How do you do that? How do you buy something with no money? Come on, you're from Leeds. Come on. Just teasing. I'm like, I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I looked it up. And apparently, buy can mean supplied with. And I thought, Jesus is the bread of life, isn't he? When we feed on him, there's good stuff there. But this call seems to be important. That there were people in pain and anguish, and you were calling them in. And in the middle of that, as somebody mentioned the guy who was sharing, the student who was sharing about the conference, about the fear. I sense this fear of the Lord. It was like a kind of a tsunami type wave. It just felt like not a bad fear, but the fear of the Lord. I'm not quite sure why, but you were calling people in, and even just severely disabled people without limbs. I don't know what the significance is, but you were calling some broken people in to God's presence. And then the scripture came to mind, and I think my friend's going to hopefully put this up on the screen. It's an amazing scripture. It's from the Passion Translation. It says this, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. And we're being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And to me, that just speaks of us being in his presence. It's that ever-increasing brightness. We aren't the light. I mean, I'm going to come to that. I mean, we reflect. Jesus is clearly the light. But he challenges us, doesn't he? You are the light of the world. But we reflect. When he's doing this stuff in us, he's changing us, he's making us more like his son. This stuff gets reflected out. And believe me, it is attractive. You know that already. As you already are reaching out to people in this wonderful community. And it's like, there's more coming. There's more coming. And this is what I finished with, and we'll do some ministry. I'm aware you have to get your kids, so don't forget those children at 5:30. But your dwelling in him will activate the light. The more you dwell, you know when you get those little watches with luminous hands and you put them under a light? You know, they go brighter, don't they? When you put them under the light, they shine all the more. Your dwelling in him will activate your light. It will increase your brightness. And the Lord clearly said, it's this that's illuminating those sparkling jewels. Because he said, you are the light of the world. And just after that, let your light so shine that they may see the good stuff that you're doing and give thanks to the Father in heaven. We're called to shine. And we shine when we're around the light. It just rubs off, doesn't it? It just rubs off. It just reflects off. It's not a badge we wear. It's just, it happens. And I think when we go into dark places, we want to be well lit. We stand? We are a bit late at this point. Are we good to do a little bit of ministry, David? Yep. If you have children, as ever, make sure that you collect them. Here's most clearly, I think, what I feel is at least two things. If, like me, you're easily distracted, we'd love to pray. That's one thing. But just, I guess more importantly, if anything we've said has stirred a passion to taste, to come away with him, to experience all that he is, all that he pours out, all that the Spirit imparts from just those times away with him as we study the word, as we pray, as we just take some time in solitude, as whatever way works for us that we encounter him, if anything that we've said has stirred that and you would love just for someone to pray more of this, then we'd love to pray with you. But it felt like that crown and the jewels being lit up was significant because it was attracting people. If you're one of those people, I don't know if you kind of know that you are, but if that kind of calls to you to be on the very edge, you're in the kingdom, but you're calling out to people around you, some really broken people perhaps, but not just them. If you're calling out, if that is you, we'd love to pray with you just for more of that, for more of that kingdom invite. Come in and experience the goodness of the King. So three things. We get distracted. A greater hunger and a thirst to experience his presence. And then the outworking of that, the calling in within that crown, within his kingdom, to the good things that you guys are experiencing. If that's you, make your way to the front. There's lots of room.
As I was praying, I just got the word, do not be afraid. And I think sometimes when we've got choice to make, we can often get distracted into the excuses of, I can't do that. I just can't let that go. And I really felt the Lord was saying, do not be afraid, because as you enter into the presence of the Lord, as you choose to spend that time with Him, embracing His word, sitting in the quiet, worshipping Him, whatever way you do that entering into His presence, I felt that you will have energy to do the things that are taking your energy now. It works in a crazy way, God's economy we talk about. But if that is you, if it can be, you can be in work and the focus is, but I'm so busy. My work is my ministry. Amen. But your citizenship is of heaven and your relationship is son or daughter of the Lord God of heaven. And He calls for you to come and be polished up and be sparkling. So come, Holy Spirit.
We're going to need quite a few people to pray. So if you're in group, I think you know the script. If girls could pray with girls, guys with guys, or a couple for anyone. Please come out and listen. As you're praying, ask the Holy Spirit. You know, just go, what are you saying to me for this wonderful brother or sister that's standing in front of me? And be bold. Ask them, of course, what it is. It may be distractions. It could be just to increase that hunger. It could be the reaching out. It could be something different. It could be what some of the stuff that Sue has shared. It could just be you've been touched in worship. Come out. Just pray. But I would say pray with a boldness. And just as you are. I was just mindful. So one of the, you know, the bride of Christ in Revelation was given shining linen to wear. And that shining linen was the righteous acts that they'd been doing. You know, there's something connected with this invite to the stuff that you're doing as you're indwelt. The natural outcome of that is that you want to roll your sleeves up and do the stuff of the kingdom. And just an encouragement, if there's new ministries, if there's stuff that's bubbling up within you, come and get some prayer. Talk to David and Alison. See what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's stirring you. Because the bride is dressed in shining linen. And there's a call to that. There's a reason for that. That light is to do with some of the stuff that you're doing as you're hearing from Him and responding. So please come and pray for your brothers and sisters.
I don't know why, but I think when we're declaring this, when we're speaking about this, I think some people are perhaps sitting back and thinking, it just makes me feel guilty. I feel so guilty. I've not read my word for weeks, and you're making me feel really guilty. Do not accept that. No one is guilty if they know Christ. There is no condemnation. I'm not here to condemn, nor Zandy. But do not receive guilt. Break it off yourself or get somebody to pray for you and get polished up, because you have a purpose. I don't know whether this is for a few or just for one, but you definitely have a purpose in kingdom terms. He has got a place for you and He wants you on that road. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you.
We could still deal with one or two more people if you're available. Just you know, if you haven't ever prayed with somebody, if this is all new to you, just come and join with someone and just see how that's just unfolding.